Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Here ends the reading.
Thanks, Chris. Please do keep that open, page 981. My name's Mikey, if we've not met, and really good to have you all with us here today, especially Mark's family on a special occasion. Well, I'm sure from time to time we all ask ourselves, can I keep going? Whether it's we've got meetings lined up all day, or when our to-do list goes over onto a second page, can I keep going right to the end? I definitely asked that when a friend persuaded me to take part in a marathon once. As you're sort of running away, training on the roads, the miles go past, and you're thinking, can I keep going to the end? But I suspect many of us here have also asked that question about the Christian life. Will we still be a Christian in 10 years' time? 50 years' time? Will we keep going right to the end? Well, it was great hearing Mark's testimony, wasn't it? How he has just started the Christian life. But even he mentioned how he's already experienced some challenges. And it's true, it can be tough and discouraging as a Christian at times, when others perhaps just don't seem to be interested in this offer of eternal life that we've got. Or when other people sort of roll their eyes anytime Christianity is brought up and we feel quite isolated. Or perhaps just when we're feeling a bit weary in the Christian life. Maybe serving feels like a bit of a slog at the moment. And maybe we find some people in our small group a bit tricky to get along with. And just the thought of keeping it all up just feels quite overwhelming. So what will keep Christians going? Well, today's passage answers that exact question. And if we're here just perhaps looking into Christian things, maybe wondering whether Christianity is just a sort of a fad for people that will probably wear off, well, we'll see today that actually the opposite is true. That anyone who really puts their trust in Jesus will stick with it to the end. We've been looking at this letter from the Apostle Paul written to Christians in this city called Philippi. And to bring us up to speed briefly, Paul's already actually kind of shown us in part how to make it to the end. You'll see on the top of the service sheets on the back there, I've tried to summarize this with a little flow diagram. You see, Paul wants Christians to have Jesus' mindset, to think like Jesus. Because Jesus' mindset meant that he humbled himself to the lowest place, to death on a cross, for the sake of others. Now, obviously, we can't save other people like Jesus did. We can't even save ourselves. But we can copy Jesus' mindset, his thinking, his attitude. And if we do, that will mean that we love each other sacrificially. And if Christians are all thinking like this, well, it will create a sort of family togetherness. And that togetherness will enable us to then stand firm against people who might give us a hard time in the Christian life. A togetherness that will mean Christians won't be shaken by people who scoff at us because we know that we have brothers and sisters standing firm alongside us. It'll also mean that Christians are able to make progress in their Christian life, to strive forwards together so that they make it to the end. So in one sense, we've already seen how Christians can keep going. But I guess the question now is, well, are we really able to do this? What about when that just seems really hard? Well, don't worry too much if you didn't follow all that. Let's dive into our passage and see what it is that will keep Christians going to the end. And you'll see the main answer again on the sheets there. Keep working, knowing that God is working in us. Please have a look down to verse 12 of chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do you see that these Philippian Christians have started well as Christians? Paul says that they have always obeyed. In that sense, they are already sort of copying Jesus. Jesus was obedient, even to death. And so they already have Jesus' mindset. But that doesn't mean that they can just sort of sit back and relax now. See, Paul is writing this letter from prison, and he's aware that he may not see these Philippians again. But even if he is never able to visit them again, even if he is executed, well, he wants them to keep going as Christians. My beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work. See, he wants them to be like the hard worker who just keeps working, whether their teacher or their boss are around or not. Or the athlete who keeps training, even when the coach isn't there. Paul wants them to take responsibility for themselves and to keep working. What are they to work at? Well, it is this mindset of Jesus that he has spoken of. They are to work at fostering Jesus' mindset. But Paul describes that as work out your own salvation. Now, we mustn't misread this. Paul doesn't say work for your own salvation. That's what other religions say, that you need to work hard to get good karma, that you need to keep all the rules and just hope that you've done enough to pass and to please God. But that is not Christianity. Jesus has already done all the work of salvation. Jesus alone deals with our sin and can make us right with God. So we don't even contribute 1% to the work of saving ourselves. Christianity is simply about trusting Jesus' work on the cross on our behalf. So we don't work for our salvation, but Paul does say, work out your own salvation. If we're Christians, we already have salvation, but now we are to work in light of that, in light of how we are already saved people. Well, Wimbledon, the tennis, is nearly upon us, and I think it's quite fun. It seems that most people really get into tennis for these few weeks. Suddenly, everyone's a big fan. And I particularly love watching Roger Federer. I mean, the greatest male player of all time. He has won it all. And he is certainly the greatest at Wimbledon, having won it 8 times. I mean, he is guaranteed a place in the royal box for life. But he is still playing. He is still working hard, putting in all the hard yards in training, and he will step out at Wimbledon and put in just as much effort. He's no longer working to prove himself. He plays now knowing that his status is secure. He's simply working out his status as a champion. Well, it's in that sense in which Christians should work. Because of Jesus, we already have it all. We're already guaranteed a place in God's royal heaven. But the Christian life, it isn't about just getting a ticket to heaven that we sort of put in our back pocket so that we can then just sort of sit back and relax in a spiritual jacuzzi for the rest of our lives. I guess that would be like Roger Federer turning up to Wimbledon and not really trying, sort of serving underarm and kind of not really bothering to run for any balls. It just wouldn't be appropriate, would it, for his status as a champion? And so, no, we should keep working hard, putting in the effort, living out our status, being who we already are, working out in light of our salvation. Now, sometimes I think we do feel motivated to work. A bit like that Rihanna song, just get ready for work, 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 work. You see me, I be work, 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 work. I was quite amused to find out it took 7 songwriters to come up with those lyrics. But also, I think a lot of the time we don't really feel that motivated to work. The idea of constantly working out our salvation, putting in this effort, sounds quite exhausting, quite draining. But Paul wants to encourage us, well, don't give up. Don't ease off the pace. Don't settle for a sort of half-hearted, lethargic Christian life where we sort of barely are limping over the finish line. And so the big encouragement of our passage comes in verse 13. I think this is one of the most encouraging verses of the Bible. So please have a look down with me, if you would, to verse 13. Well, end of verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For, verse 13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, this is the answer to our big question, what will keep Christians going? Although we are called to keep working, here we see that as we work, it is really God who is at work, working in us. God is the one who will keep Christians going, because as we work, God works. Well, I cycle to work, and just recently you may have noticed there are all these electric bikes that have popped up all over the place, and they're pretty cool. I mean, I'm sitting there at the lights about to head up the hill over Southwark Bridge, but someone with an electric bike comes along, and as we set off and start pedaling, well, I'm sort of straining away, trying to get up this hill, putting in all the effort myself if I'm going to get over the bridge. But then you hear their motor kick in, and they are off up the hill with barely no trouble. And this power is sort of unleashed as they start pedaling. As they work, the bike works too. Well, that is a bit like the Christian life. I mean, we don't sit back and let God do all the work. Those bikes don't pedal themselves, do they? But as we work, God works. Two sides of the same coin. As we seek to work out Jesus' mindset, well, God's very power is unleashed, enabling us to keep going. Except it's even better than that. Have another look at verse 13. It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, God helps us to will as well as to work. He is working in our desires so that we even want to live for him. And then he enables us to carry it out. It's as though God gives us the will to get on the electric bike in the first place, as well as then powering us once we're pedaling. Well, isn't this hugely encouraging? I mean, every time we have even wanted to look out for another Christian, well, that has been God at work within us. Every time we have prayed for another Christian or for the church family, every time we have put in some effort to turn up to small groups to encourage the rest of the group, every time we have served or helped another Christian out, every time we have let it go when another Christian has got on our nerves, every time when we've had people sort of turn down our invitations to church or talks and yet kept trusting Jesus, every time we've even wanted to see the gospel advance in our office or friendship groups, well, that is the Almighty God at work within us. Isn't that incredible? And I think that's why verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, this is kind of meant to make us go, wow. But at the same time, it's just so encouraging, empowering. I mean, when we hear people rubbishing Christians, well, surely we won't be so scared to keep identifying as a Christian if we remember that God is on our side. He is at work within us, helping us through the ups and the downs. For me, this perspective makes the thought of persevering in the Christian life just so much more achievable, so much more exciting, empowered, purposeful. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Well, that is the main point of our passage today. Keep working, knowing God is working in us. But the next few verses just help to flesh this out for us with some specific examples of what this will look like to keep working to the end. So more briefly, you'll see the first example on the sheet there. Don't whine to make sure we shine. Please have a look down to verse 14 if you would. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Well, it's easy, isn't it, to grumble when we are finding the Christian life tough, when we are finding another Christian difficult to love, perhaps, or when things are busy, we are tired, the sofa at home is just sort of calling us, and yet we've dragged ourselves to small groups, and we might just question, oh, what am I doing here? Is it really worth it? Or maybe when we are down to help out with clear-up, and we'd rather head off earlier on a Sunday, and so we sort of grumble to ourselves about having to stick around. Or maybe when we aren't bending the truth like other people are at work, and so we're kind of given a hard time, maybe, or maybe we just start to resent that this means we're kind of put at a disadvantage compared to everyone else. Or perhaps it's when we show self-control at the office party and follow God's ways in our relationships, and yet we're sometimes just wondering whether it's really worth that feeling of being left out, or people sometimes smirking or gossiping about us or leaving us out of things. Be tempting to grumble, but Paul says, do all things without grumbling. Don't whine. Don't feel sorry for ourselves, because God is at work within us. He is helping us. We can't complain. It's fine to question things we don't understand, but don't question God's goodness. Why? Well, because God is helping us. He is at work. But also because of who we are now. Verse 15, did he say, said that we are children of God if we are Christians? Christians have been brought into God's family, where his precious children are. And we have the privilege of being able to call God our Father. But along with this privilege also comes a responsibility. It's said that when our queen and her sister, Princess Margaret, were small children and going off to a party one day, the queen mother said to them, now remember, girls, royal children, royal manners. People would be looking, and they had a responsibility to show off that family likeness of royalty. And similarly, children of God have a responsibility to show off God's family likeness to those around us. And the way that we show we belong to God is not to grumble, but seek to be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Each of those words or phrases sort of adds color to this picture. To be blameless means to be above criticism to onlookers. Innocent there means not sinless, but it's the idea of having a pure motive, sort of single-minded, sincere, wholesome character, a clean conscience. Without blemish is the way that Old Testament sacrifices were described, a life sort of fit to be offered up to God. Now remember, we don't have to conjure all of this up on our own. This is the work that God is committed to doing within us. And so we will stand out because all of this is in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. That phrase comes from Deuteronomy 32, and it reminds us of the failings of God's people in the Old Testament, the old part of the Bible. There, God's people were supposed to be distinct from every other people on earth, but when the going got tough, well, they grumbled against God, and they became just like the nations around them, joining in with their crooked and twisted ways. And so here, Paul is saying that we have got a new opportunity to be the people that God wants us to be. And because God is actually at work within us, well, we are not doomed to follow in their ways, in the past failures. Sure, we'll never be perfect, but we really can live as God's children now, with God's manners. And as we work at this, living out this mindset of Jesus, well, we will really expect to be different from those around us. I mean, have another look at the end of verse 15, if you would. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Christians have the opportunity to shine, to be lights, to point people to God's truth, to show people a different way to life. Christians will stand out. And that may mean that we feel quite isolated, surrounded by the sort of darkness in our office or in our school or in our friendship groups. But again, I think we are supposed to see the privilege of this. We can shine. And just as people love gazing at the bright stars on a dark night, well, so people will be drawn to gaze at Christians living out these distinctive lives. Our lives can be seriously powerful. They will display the shining work of God. So this is what it looks like to work out our salvation. Don't whine, to make sure we shine. But one final example of working out Jesus' mindset, it is hold fast to make sure we last. Please have a look down to verse 16. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. See, Paul wants these Christians to keep holding fast to the gospel message, the word of life. He wants them to keep trusting Jesus as the only one who saves them and gives them eternal life. And he wants them to keep running the race just as he was, because he longs for them to last to the very end, to get to heaven with him. Then Paul will know that his labors for them weren't in vain. But so this is also part of our work as Christians, holding fast to God's word. And certainly that is not always easy to do. About this time on a Sunday morning, you're probably all very aware of just how hard it can be, how much effort it is to keep engaging with a sermon at church. And it can be hard to keep up sort of good patterns of reading the Bible on our own. It takes effort to prepare well for small groups and to turn up and really contribute to try and build one another up. But this is the work that God will be helping us with, to desire and to do. And holding fast to these promises of God, well, that is what will make sure we last to the end. It's a bit like the Paralympics, when the blind runners are clinging on to that bit of rope that attaches them to their guide runner, who is making sure that they stay on track and make it to the finish line. Well, God's word is our guide rope. We are to hold fast because God's promises are what will make sure we stay on track and last to the end, to the finish line. So how are we doing at this, I wonder? When we are maybe have experiencing a setback, something wobbles us, maybe it's a strained encounter with a friend or colleague, or when we hear sad news, well, who do we turn to for help? When anxiety kicks in. Something's happened. Well, whose voice and encouragement do we seek first? Paul says the first place that we should turn is the word of life. Friends, family, positive thinking techniques, well, they can only get us so far. But only God offers true life, lasting water in the parched times, tonic for the soul. And it is found in his word in the Bible. And so let us hold fast to make sure we last. This holding fast will also enable us to keep shining effectively too. The word for hold fast can also actually mean hold out. Because as we keep reading and growing in our appreciation of eternal life in Jesus, we'll want to hold it out, to share it with others as well. And so if we have been perhaps trying to hold out the gospel to others, but we're feeling a bit discouraged maybe. Maybe no one took up our invitations to come to the guest event last Monday evening. Or maybe we've never really shared our faith. Maybe we were kind of too scared to invite anyone to that event. Well, wherever we are, Paul would say, keep coming back to God's word ourselves. And as we hold on, well, God will be at work within us, giving us fresh courage and conviction to shine out, hold out the gospel to others. Well, I don't know, there may be some here who have been weighing up whether we want to start trusting in Jesus, still looking in. And maybe one of our hesitations is whether I could just keep going as a Christian. Well, today is a promise that God will be at work helping you to do that. And if we are already following Jesus, well, I hope this will give us real encouragement to keep going. We can take up renewed efforts not to whine, but rather to shine and to hold fast to God's word to make sure we last. And all the while knowing that God is working in us as we work. Well, let me close us in a short prayer. Father God, thank you so much that you promise as your children work, you are at work within us, giving us the right desires and the ability to shine as lights in the world. So please help us to hold fast to your word so that we keep going to the very end. Amen.